Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode. We are in the hundreds.
I'm
here. Yeah, we're in the hundreds now. Antonio here. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
Pastor Dan, I always say we miss you when a couple of episodes goes by, but it's great to have you back with us.
Yeah, I love doing this. Love being here.
Yeah.
Love chatting and talking. And I also enjoy the feedback. We get a lot of good feedback. A lot of you guys meet us at the door. Send us little emails or text messages, things like that. We love hearing from you guys. Yeah. So keep it coming.
Yeah, it helps us to know that, you know, again, not that the episodes are so great as much as I believe the information has been being helpful for people.
People
right?
are receiving.
It's an extra bit, an extra supplement, an extra dose of encouragement, of inspiration. And so that makes not just the conversations fun, but again, for you all listeners and watchers or viewers or subscribers. Hey, at this point, that's a great place to say like, comment, subscribe.
We there you go.
Love the comments share and share it with other people as well. So we're having good conversations, Pastor Dan. I wanted to mention to you today, I know we are on the heels depending on when you're listening, watching, but we just finished here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center a marriage series.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a marriage series like none other. We've had several marriage series throughout the years. The last one was, what, a couple years ago now?
Been a couple
in your
years.
Life? But I felt like this one, now the Word of God is the Word of God, but I thought you guys grew out such a unique perspective. One of those unique perspectives was that I think you guys team taught, you and Pastor Jess both team taught the entire series. And you guys were on stage together. You guys had either a table or stools one of the weeks, and I think we got you more comfortable, right? In some
got
in some
Pastor Jessica more comfortable.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, she's the one who cares about those things. I'm like, give me the tall chairs because I like being sat up.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's more comfortable with those. We had those kind of plush chairs that those are from our office.
Okay, cool.
And she likes those, and so I'm like, I'm cool with whatever. But
so give us some behind the scenes of what goes into that. A team teaching, I can only imagine, is not the easiest thing. Mm. But I thought by the end of the series, you guys were, I love you, Pastor Dan. You put the mic down and then you just let Pastor Jessica go. Because I could imagine otherwise, if you were keeping the mic up the whole time, you'd probably just be interjecting the whole time, right?
I think Pastor Jessica actually wanted me to interject more.
Oh, okay.
But I also know that we had a lot of ground to cover. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to give her permission, even visually, because you can see the person next to you, and if they've got their mic up, you know they're wanting to say something, and it gets your mind off. So I wanted her to feel comfortable going with the information that she was giving at that moment. So yeah, it takes a lot.
Yeah,
it actually does take quite a bit to do.
Because you guys, I'm imagining, prepared separately. You had separate notes, and then you kind of brought them together in terms of, because you could tell there was the preparation time individually as well as to be able to be succinct.
Somewhat. Actually, it was more collaborative than that.
Okay.
For especially this part of the series.
Okay.
So let me back up.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we took some days off.
Mm-hmm.
When I say days off, out of the office. We were on, but we were at home praying, fasting, studying, and we came up with the vision for this year. Mm-hmm. Within that vision, there were some things that we wanted to get across to the congregation about what increase looks like and what practical ways that we can bring and see the increase that God wants in our lives. And with that came the marriage, parenting, finances, business, even being single. And there were some very specific things that as we prayed and as we collaborated on just the vision for the year, that we felt that God was impressing on our hearts, you need to teach these things again.
Mm.
So we wrote a lot of that stuff down at that time. We've been rolling that out. I've been so pleased this year because not only Pastor Jessica and I, you, Pastor Brian, some of the other pastors, Pastor Teresa I can think of, have taught messages. Pastor Paul.
Yeah.
Pastor Joel.
Yeah.
Have all taught messages on increase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's been such a blessing to me because obviously we don't have the revelation, you know, cornered.
Right.
But we've got so much from the Word of God that shows us these things that I have loved hearing different perspectives, different scriptures, different illustrations on how this works. And the vision literally has been carried through. So even I just got done preaching at youth camp this past week, which is phenomenal. Shout out to all the youth.
Yeah.
But we even had both the children's and the youth camps carry the theme of increase into the camps.
Yeah.
And RockCon coming up.
Yeah.
We're going to carry that all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So the neat thing is, for this series specifically, since we took a sidestep from the book of Romans to come in and look at these things, when we got together, we actually laid out, even though many of the messages early on we had taught, some together, some separate, we collaborated on those as well. And then when we got to like the finance series, I had something specifically on my heart that Pastor Jess didn't have on her heart, so I did those ones myself. Especially the New Testament finances. That was something God laid on my heart for the year, that I was to look at just the New Testament. So she didn't collaborate on that section. But once we got into, especially the marriage, we sat together, we prayed, we opened the scriptures, we talked about things, and we came up with the points that we wanted to bring. And then we took what were the 8 commandments to the husband, the 4 commandments to the wife that Pastor Jim and Deborah taught us years and years ago, and that we've taught over the years. Because even you talked about our last marriage series, we taught those principles. So we took out all, what is that, 12 commandments? And what we did was for the 2 sessions specifically, because the first one was really just the collaboration with Psalm 128. And then we took those points and we said, okay, here's 6 points, because that's all we've got for 2 messages, but do they cover all 12 of these things? So really, we were bundling some of those areas, because they fall into the same thing. For instance, the first 2 commandments to the wife are very similar. One is submit to your husband. The other one's let him be the spiritual head. Those 2 we bundled into one and brought that for women, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so that was really that collaboration, even down to the point where like Pastor Jess got me the joke for the first week, and then I came up with the one for the second week. And so, we went back and forth with those types of things too. And then just what was great about it was just remembering some of the stories, going down some of those things in memory lane and, and remembering some of those things. It was great for us. And we always, when we teach marriage, we always get refreshed. We always have a better marriage after we teach on marriage. So. And you're welcome to all those of you who did your homework. So it's been wonderful. So
Talk about that, because
talk about the homework.
Talk about.
I love making you laugh. Yeah, I know, Pastor Antonio's over here.
You gotta get. you talked about at the end of the series, you know, you have a better marriage.
Yes,
but as you guys were teaching it, you know, it was a 3-week long message, and you guys are always transparent and honest about these things. So on the way to church, each of these weeks, each of these services, I know you mentioned by the 3rd week you had it down, but what did those first couple of weeks look like? And
so what's interesting is when we're studying and coming up to the week, we're fine.
Yeah.
It's getting ready in the morning that the devil just somehow gets in our house and starts messing with stuff. Because and especially on Saturdays, because we do a Saturday morning and to Sunday morning, all the same message for those of you that don't attend The Rock. But we, on Saturday morning, especially for some reason, getting ready and trying to get out of the house, I think the 2nd week was the Sunday morning. And I'm trying to tell Pastor Jess, I said, hey, we need to get out earlier. And it was my fault. I'll claim that, Pastor Jess, if you're listening. I yield. I was wrong. I was the one that made us late on Sunday that 2nd week. But on the way to church, I was irritated with myself. And so I was expressing that to her. She took that as me saying, hey, you need to be earlier. And she's like, I was on time. I was ready. You're the one that I was ironing your shirt. And so, it's just wild how when you're teaching on a subject, you'll be tested in it. If you ever teach on spiritual warfare, get ready to have bad dreams and crazy things going on in your house and a spiritual attack. If you're teaching on purity, get ready for every ungodly, perverse thing to come at your thinking. Even on your television, stuff will randomly show up. It's amazing. So here we are teaching on marriage. And of course, that first weekend, Saturday morning, we're at each other. So we had to tell the Saturday service, guys, listen, we don't want to be hypocrites in the pulpit because if there's hypocrisy in the pulpit, the grace stops. But when you're transparent like that and you say, hey, we're not perfect, we have loved each other and forgave each other, but we want to let you guys know we've been at each other, that's where the grace flows. And people, I think, appreciate that too.
Absolutely.
So the joke was by the 3rd week, we didn't fight the 3rd week. So we're like, we finally got the marriage series. Listen to ourselves now, and now we finally are getting this thing down. But those happen.
It makes me think of how, really, for all of us, whether you're preaching a message or not, we like to feel, right? There's a certain sense that we want to feel it. We want to feel good. So I'd imagine as you're getting ready to prepare for a message or deliver a message. You want to feel, hey, like we're so in love. We want to feel very spiritual, like we floated in, right? Like they went from the park. Did you guys even have to drive here today? No, the Holy Spirit just dropped us off in a cloud right to the pulpit so we can deliver this message
and
to
wouldn't
you.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
But the reality is again, because we want to feel like when we're at work and we hear these principles about being a good employee, when we're with our children, I'd like to say like, oh, I want to feel like I'm pouring into this next generation. But there's something that bothers me. There's something that frustrates. In other words, we don't just get to fast forward these processes. And I'm thinking for us as listeners, when it comes to loving our spouse, being a good leader, being a good employee, it's not going to always feel like that. So we can't, you know, you guys didn't maybe right before you go up, feel qualified, feel like I'm so in love with you. I don't really like this person right now. And I think that was the funny thing, because I think it was the Saturday. Pastor Jess went up. She didn't waste any time. I don't even like you right now, Pastor Dan.
No,
we're about to start this series.
She's but such
again,
a scrapper.
I think that breaks that also, like you mentioned, it breaks the
breaks
wall down
walls.
Of, hey, we're all, and it's not about what we feel.
No.
Right? We can't do this walk following Jesus because we feel like it. Because there's going to be days when it feels harder.
And many times people feel like the temporary setback is a future failure when it doesn't have to be. It's not about the challenges and the trials that you go through. It's about how you get through them with Christ and overcome and then build on that for the future. Used to be if we'd have fights like that before church, it would be a long process to get back to where we needed to be.
Yeah.
Now, after 25 years of marriage, it's like, hey, yeah, you suck. I don't like you.
Yeah.
And then we quickly forgive and be back on track because we realize, oh, that's just how they are.
Yeah.
Dan's just being uptight. Or Jessica's just concerned in this area, and so she's expressing herself in this way, and it's not going to be like this tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
So we've learned how to forgive and to move forward quickly over time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think sometimes couples especially get this thing that if we're at each other, if there's problems, there's trouble in paradise, oh, no, watch out because that's not good. It's not good, but at the same time, it's not the end.
Right.
And that's where love, forgiveness can flow. The Spirit of God can bring you back together. Have a conversation about it. Laugh about the things you can laugh about. I mean, we have joked about it. Now, it's not funny in the moment.
Of course.
But then after church, we're laughing about it. Like, gosh, you were so uptight. Yeah. I know. I'm so stupid. But but if we can laugh at ourselves, if we can take that perspective and say, this is not it. This is not everything right now. This is just a moment. This is just a challenge. But we're past it. Mm-hmm. We're good. And when we try not to be perfect and just let ourselves be flawed individuals that are doing our best to serve Jesus, then it's like, well, hey, I forgive you. Yeah. And let's do better.
Right.
And let's move forward. So those are the great things about, especially this series, I think, because we've had some of that perspective and some of that time to be able to do those things. And then, like you said, in our transparency, to live those things in front of our congregation.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I'd imagine, you know, I heard a joke, like you said, over time, the fights change a little bit, or maybe the rebounding time is a little bit faster, kind of like, oh, I'm leaving. Well, where are we going? You're allowed to leave. I'm just following, right? Like, you're not, in other words, you're not getting rid of me, right? There's a certain amount of time where, you know, early on in marriage, like, oh, this is it. This is a red flag. That's a deal breaker. There's no deal breakers.
Yeah, you're married.
We're in, you know, there's like, it's just, we're going to get through this together. But I think some of those things, because what we found, I know this past weekend, you opened the altars for couples to come and receive ministry and prayer afterwards. And we found that the series as a whole touched a lot of different spots.
Yeah.
And really there's nuance in all the different parts of marriage, right? And what we maybe would think, that there's really no stereotype of, you know, like oh, it's men that want this. This is a man issue. This is a woman's issue. What we're finding in marriage and relationships, that this is not a lot of things that you think only affect women, like, because then you were having testimonies of men saying, no, this has affected me. And so a lot of these things, what we're finding when we look at marriages as a whole and the body of Christ at large, and I think this is what's encouraging for all of us, is that there are different things and God knows us individually and he comes alongside.
Yeah.
And that was the beauty of the scripture that you guys brought up. It is things that we can take personally.
Yeah.
And that's why whether you're married or not, whether you're single, whether you are a divorcee or you are a widow, widower, the word of God and the scriptures that you guys talked about and presented are for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was encouraging, because for some people, they are single and they want to get married. So it's one of those things like, oh, I'm going to kind of store this in the bank,
sure,
you know, of my heart and bring this back. And some people don't want to get married again. But at the same part, we can see those same, there's the parallels to our walk with Christ, mm-hmm, as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could share a little bit more about the thought of, maybe someone doesn't feel like everything applies, but how can we still take those nuggets? Because it was the word. And yes, it's a marriage or a relationship series, but everyone can be blessed and touched with that.
Yeah, I love the fact that when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and he said that you search the scriptures, and he says, and they're pointing to me. When you look at the entirety of the scripture that they had at that moment, mm-hmm, it was the Old Covenant. It was the entire Old Testament. Those were all of the scriptures. Now, within that, you had scriptures from Proverbs on business. You had scriptures from Ecclesiastes on sound wisdom for the future and life. You had scriptures on love from the Song of Songs. You had historical scriptures, and you had the creation accounts. All these things. It's a diverse section of scripture. You had prophetic scriptures about nations rising and falling. You had individual words to David, to Jeremiah, to others, all throughout. You even had the stories that were sort of side notes, if you will, but still surrounding the Jewish people, like, yeah, Esther. Mm-hmm. There were some amazing things that took place within that whole time period in thousands of years, and yet Jesus says all of that, whether marriage, whether parenting, whether business, whether prophecy, whether nations, whether creation, all these things point to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, when we look at a marriage series, a single person, especially if they're called to be single, maybe they never have been married and they're called to a single life for the rest of their life, they could easily dismiss a marriage series and say, well, that's not for me.
Right.
I'm called to this. I've got a different perspective. But if we're called to Christ, we are the bride.
Yes.
And all of these scriptures, we can see that there is a marriage, that to be one with the Lord. And again, in the creation account, there is a marriage. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve come together, and as soon as there's a spoken thing that takes place, Adam says, this is now a woman. He names her, because he had named all the animals before, so here comes a new animal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, man. Yeah. And he says, this is woman. She was taken from man.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the quotations stop, and there's a new sentence that starts. Now, Moses is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he says, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who's a single man, who had very specific instructions for married, yeah, people, says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ,
yeah,
and the church. All of us that are born of the Spirit of God, single, divorced, widowed, widower, mm-hmm, married, whatever state we find ourselves in, Christ and the church, marriage speaks to us about our personal life. So when we see those things, like submit to,
yeah,
your husband, your, yeah, own husband,
yeah,
hey, we're to submit to Christ. Mm-hmm. When we see those pictures in the scriptures, even the let him be the spiritual head,
yeah,
all these things speak to our lives and help us, mm-hmm, to be a better Christian.
Right.
Because God wants oneness. He wants unity. He wants there to be blurred lines between where he ends and we begin. And, yeah, that's the beautiful thing about this, because in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, there's going to be a marriage supper, mm-hmm, of the Lamb. We're all coming in. We're all finding our place at the table.
Yeah.
We're all coming around, and we're all celebrating together. And God wants us to be beautifully adorned. I think when we talk about fidelity in marriage, when, mm-hmm, we talk about faithfulness in marriage, when we talk about guarding against adultery, yeah, oftentimes, even in the Old Covenant, the prophets would talk about Israel as an adulterous woman,
yeah,
that left her husband. In fact, the most famous one is in Hosea with his wife Gomer, mm-hmm, who was a prostitute, yeah, that God said to marry her. And then here she goes out whoring again,
yeah,
selling, right, herself for sex,
right,
when she didn't have to. She had a husband. She had, right, provision. And yet she went of her own accord, and he said, go buy her back.
Right.
As a man?
Right, yeah.
I don't know that I'm strong enough for
that. It was enough that I had to rescue her from that. And then she went back to it.
The betrayal.
Right.
And he says, love an adulterous woman. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God gave Hosea the capacity for love,
yeah,
in that sense. That there was a deep love that he had for her, that it actually broke his heart when she went back to, mm-hmm, prostitution. Mm-hmm. And so here he goes, and he has to buy her time, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in order to bring her back to himself. That's the picture that we get of God loving us, and that's where we have to guard ourselves. I think about the last scripture in 1 John. My little children, keep yourself from idols. Yeah. What is he saying? He's saying, don't commit spiritual adultery. The book of Revelation, again, you've got this Jezebel spirit that's in the church, and he says, I want you to keep yourself from those things. There are people who have not known the depths of Satan, that have not gone into the bed with her, and those that will, I'll cast them into a bed of sickness. There are consequences for spiritual adultery. And that's where even a single person can say, I'm going to stay faithful to my God.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be looking around for other lovers. I'm not going to commit that spiritual adultery. I'm going to submit to Christ's leadership.
Yeah.
I'm going to come under his covering. I will allow myself to be led by him because he's the spiritual head. And I'm going to submit to him in all things. I'm going to recognize him. I'm going to let him be the head. Because oftentimes we can get in the position of, well, I didn't hear from God, so I'm going to just do this. Mm-hmm. Or this is what I want, and so I'm going to go out this direction, when God has never told us to do those things.
Right.
And so that's where intimacy, closeness with the Holy Spirit, a love of the Word of God, and knowing God's Word, it will help us to stay faithful and to stay close and to know the direction that God has for us, because it is a marriage.
That's good.
It's Christ and the church. No longer two. It's one in covenant for a lifetime, like we said.
Yep.
And that's the beautiful picture that marriage gives us for all of us as believers. And even married people, we need to live a life that even though we're one with our spouse, we still need to be one with the Lord first.
Yeah.
And above all else. And the marriage should reflect that and also be geared towards that mm-hmm. for the individual and for the couple. And that's the growth and the challenge of all married couples is to see how to do that.
Well, the examples that you gave, Pastor Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the takeaways that I go is that we would probably find ourselves foolish if we were to take a topic or a series, whatever it be, and say, oh, I'm not that, right? Mm. We're gonna do parenting. We're going to do business. And take a topic and, oh, because I don't check that box, this isn't for me.
Right.
Because you just gave a plethora of examples of takeaways that we can get even in topics that maybe don't personally affect us right now.
Yeah.
And dismiss those truths or those principles of things that we might need down the road or that we could use to help and serve others along the way, right? Because I can still take the principle of, you know, maybe I'm not a parent, but I have nieces and nephews, or I'm a teacher, and so I'm around, I'm going to learn how I can help nurture children or whatever it might be. Again, fill in the blank with any topic, thinking that we can't take biblical truths and dismiss those, because like you said, those different examples are going to be truthful to us in all
yeah.
seasons.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really cool thing that as a church we did a marriage series, and it wasn't just an kind of an offshoot. It was for the entire congregation to be built up and edified. And I think that there's going to be great things that come out of that. What do we have kind of coming down the way?
Yeah. Well, we've got a parenting series coming up, which will be phenomenal. Pastor Jess is going to do one by herself from a mother's perspective. Yeah. I'm going to do one by myself from a father's perspective. Uh-huh. And then we've got a panel that's going to come together of some different types of individuals, different types of parents, whether it's adoptive, uh-huh. foster parents, parents of adult children, grandparents.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's in there. Our children's and youth pastors will be a part of that to give some perspective on teens and younger children.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and we'll finish this series with legacy and longevity.
I love that.
And that's going to be a powerful, powerful message. That's one of the ones that I've been waiting to get to.
Yeah, because very cool.
All of this gears towards that in the future. And whether you're a parent or not, whether you think that these things apply to you or not, remember that Paul told Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful mm-hmm. for growth and correction and rebuke and our lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is that even if it's a scripture that we might think, man, that doesn't apply. Oh, no, it's useful.
Yeah.
It's useful to have that tool in your bag. It's useful to have these scriptures in your spirit, because you can grow and you can see Christ in them.
Yeah, that's good. Praise God. Well, Pastor, any closing thoughts as we finish? I know there's a lot of amazing things going on here at the Rock Church Word Outreach Center, but as always, like, comment, subscribe. But any just closing thoughts as we finish? Again, I know we talked about a lot today.
Yeah, I think that as you're searching the scriptures and as you're finding those things, you might think, does this apply to me, or is this something that I need to be paying attention to? Log those things in your heart. Mm. Paul also told Timothy, if you're confused about something, ask God. Mm-hmm. And he'll make that clear to you too. And I believe that's a word for you today that are listening, that if there's something that you've been reading in the Bible and it's unclear, you don't really understand it, just log it, tuck it away in your heart and say, okay, God, would you teach me about that? And it may not be today. It might not be this year. It might be down the road that there's a scripture that just pops off the page at you that you go, ah, I get it now. I see what God was doing with that scripture and why God had me looking at those things. And so be diligent to study to show yourself approved. Make sure that you're in your word. Make sure that you're reading these things for yourself, examining the scriptures. I love how the Bereans in the book of Acts says they were more noble than everybody else because they actually looked at the scriptures to find out if what was being said was true. I believe that's pleasing to the heart of God. And I believe that's where you start to really grow and skyrocket in your faith. And that's what we want to see for you. We want to see your life blessed. We want to see your single life blessed, your married life blessed. We want to see your future, your children, your family, your witness, your community, all blessed. Why? Because God is increasing in your life and the word of God is powerful and effective.
Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next time.